All right. Those of you that don't know me, my name is Chris Miller, and I help out Brother and Sister Strelecki when they're not here, and they're not here. They flew to Oregon for revival for the congregation there. It's a spring break for Brother Strelecki's job. So he's a school teacher. It's going to be tough to top this. I'd say we could just go home and it'd been a good service, but my wife asked me if I saw that. My head's getting big. We could just leave that up there, maybe. Awesome singer. I think this is just bad. All right, so anyway, yesterday I went to the circus with my family, and you would not believe it. Have any of you guys been to the circus lately?
Was that your
10
house?
Years ago. So anyway, there's vendors hawking stuff nonstop. If you go to a baseball game, it's very similar. If you go to any event like this, and they got food, chips, hot dogs, elephant ears, popcorn, peanuts, light up snow cones, and then the big one was the light up sword toys. When you got a whole entire stadium full of boys and girls that are, and they turn the lights down low and they're all tempted by the flaming sword that they can wave around. It was pretty crazy yesterday. So my young son, he wanted everything. He's 3 and he was begging. And it didn't help that every few minutes the MC would get on the microphone and tell everybody, hey, make sure you get one of them lighted swords. And if you can, just go ahead and, there's some vendors going down there, just grab a sword. So he kept thinking, you know, they're talking, I should just go get one. And he, Dad, give me a sword, Dad, give me a sword. And I wasn't budging. I've already made up in my mind that I knew what my answer was. It was no. And just as he kind of forgot about him, a vendor would go walking by, anybody want a sword? Anybody want a flaming sword? And of course, you know, it started all over again. And intermission, we went down to, they're like, they had a bunch of carnival rides there for kids to ride. And he took off running and he found a parent who had a like a double sword. It was like two swords you twist together, and it was called it had a name, like some kind of pirate sword or something. So he was excited. Oh, it was a dragon slayer sword. That's what it was. He wanted a dragon slayer sword. I'm like, no. And so he kept taking the sword from the man as we were waiting in line to get on the ride. And I said, give it back. It's not ours. You know, and so when the kid, the other like 4-year-old, unscrewed the handles and showed him it could become two swords, then he wanted to get one of the swords and fight with the other. I'm like, these are not our swords. Give them back. And so when he saw the other kids running around with him, you know, he wanted one. And I was prepared for stuff like this. My wife had bought a toy at Ollie's a while back for $1 maybe or less. And I kind of slipped it into my pocket when we were going because I knew that he would be wanting stuff. And I had a bag full of balloons in my pocket that I bought because I didn't want to have to purchase all this stuff. You guys didn't put it on my tightwad either. But I'm not, because the stuff is way overpriced. And so when, you know, he wanted the sword, I quickly pulled it out, and then he was shooting the gun. It's like a gun. It would go out, and it would shoot way out, and it would clap together like pinchers. And he really thought that was pretty neat until he saw everybody else with the light-up swords again. And so, wouldn't you know it, they had everybody shut the lights out, and then everybody that had the sword hold it up really high, right? And then, you know, he doesn't have one. So I just knew in my heart that this toy was not worth $20. So anyway, I knew if we did buy it, it'd be broke by the time I got home today or yesterday. So he was throwing a little tantrum, and the ladies in front of us even turned around and looked at him, and they said, oh, he wants a light-up toy. So they could have been detectives. But he saw the, they seemed like hundreds of other people with swords, and he didn't have one. And I already knew that he didn't need a toy for $20, but he didn't see it that way, right? He saw it another way. He saw it differently. And last night, I was getting ready for bed. This lesson is called, just read it. I was thinking, God already knows. Last night at bedtime, I was telling him a story, and I typically have to tell the same three stories over and over, but I was telling him a little different story. It was about Cain and Abel. Most of you all know about Cain, and he killed his brother Abel. And what did God ask Cain after he killed Abel? Where is Abel, your brother? Where's your brother, Abel? The title of the message is God Already Knows. God was asking Cain a question he already knew the answer to, right? He already knew where Abel was. Because then Cain quickly responded, what? Am I my brother's keeper? God wanted to know, he wanted to hear what Cain had to say. And I believe God then says something about your brother's blood is crying out, if you remember that. But he was testing Cain. Am I my brother's keeper was his answer. God already knows the answers to so many questions in life. Some of you here tonight probably are asking God questions. Some of you are being asked, tested by God. Some of you may not realize you're being tested of God. Probably most of you don't realize this, the trial that you're going through is a test from God and from others. So that sounds like something each one of you would answer when God said, you just got finished killing your sibling. And God said, where is your sibling? Okay, let's not go that drastic. If you guys did something wrong, hopefully none of you ever do that. But if you did something wrong and someone comes to you and asks you, what did you do? You're going to deny it. You're going to talk around it. You're going to lie if you don't get caught, right? You're going to, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know who did that. I don't know where he's at. That was probably the cat. I haven't seen the cat, you know. Broke something. You're going to deny it. That sounds like something we each would say. Deny, deny, deny. We get caught doing something. Those of you that are older than 15 and a half and have got pulled over for exceeding the speed limit, you know they ask you a couple questions when they first walk up to the car. They don't just say, well, you're going 63 and a 25. No, they say, how fast are you going? They want to hear you put yourself in the wrong position. They want to hear your answer. And typically, you're like, oh, I wasn't paying attention, right? They want to catch you. They already know the answer. They already know what the answer is. Well, God already knows the answer for Cain and Abel. He already knows the answer for many questions that he asked. He just wants to hear what you have to say. We can even start up front. At the very beginning of the Bible, Adam and Eve, he calls for them, where are you at? He knew right where they were at. They were hiding. And then we can go clear it up to Judas. And right before, the last thing Jesus says to Judas, before he betrays him, he sees, Jesus says, looks at him and says, what you're about to do, do quickly. What you're about to do, do quickly. He was about ready to betray him. So God already knew, Jesus already knew something was going ready to happen. We can review every conversation between God and Moses, God and Elijah, God and Joshua. You could review every one of them. And every time that God asks a question, every time that God brings up a situation, he already knows what's going to happen. He just wants to see how they react to it. He wants to see what they're going to respond to it. The same way with each one of us here tonight. Sometimes your parents are going to ask you a question. They already know the answer. I'm a parent, and I already know what my children have done. I'll say, who made a mistake and did this in your diaper? And it's often, he'll often pinpoint it on his Uncle Rusty, who is 40 years old and does not live in our home. Or he'll pin it on one of his cousins who are in here in the room tonight. He'll pin it on someone else who wasn't even around. I already know the answer. I mean, But I'll ask him, who made this mess? You know, and it's Drake. Drake doesn't even been here, right? He'll blame it on someone else. And that's what happens. You don't want the blame to come on themselves. So the same way with your parents asking these questions, sometimes you want to see what the response is. Where were you at last night? You ever heard that question? No one? Your parents ask you where you were at last night? I said be home by such and such. Where'd you go? What you did? Sometimes they just want to know. Maybe they're curious. But sometimes they're testing you. The same with teachers, professors, managers, supervisors. They seem to want to see what you know, what you've learned, what they've taught you. So they give you an exam, right? The dreaded test, the exam, the put you out on the field, put you out on the floor, put you out in a situation you're not comfortable with. They want to see how you're going to react. They're going to see, what you're like under stress. Sometimes they just want to kind of see how's he going to respond. The heat's, the pressure's on. I taught school last year, most of you know, and I quickly could discover which students weren't paying attention when I told them the answer 5 minutes before, and then we reviewed it, gave them the test, and they still missed it. And I'm like, they're not paying attention. They don't care. They don't want to study. They weren't listening. And that's frustrating. So the same way goes with, think about God. He tells you. He may not tell you physically. Maybe you read it in the Bible. He may have a preacher bring it. He may have me bring something. Maybe your parents told you something. And you go out and you do the same mistake again. I don't know what your problem may be, but it's frustrating, isn't it? It's testing. And so you can imagine what your parents are going through, what God's going through. I've been in that situation. I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to do this again. Chris, you've got to quit doing this. And I do it again. Oh, so frustrating. I remember as a teenager, I had a problem. And my dad worked with me for a while. I think I'm better now. I know I'm better. But I know what you're going through. Sometimes it's easier to break your promise, break your commitment. It's tough. So just like these students that I tested, God's testing us. Our Heavenly Father knows all about us. He wants to ask us questions, put us through situations. He knows how the answer is, but He wants to see how we're going to react. God says, what are you going to do in this situation? He knows, what are you going to do with this temptation? And He wants to see a response. He wants to see how you're going to respond to that situation. God wants to see our willingness to be committed to loving Him. Oh, he didn't fall for it this time. He must really love me. He's, and it's hard to do sometimes. The temptation's there. It's saying, no, I'm not going to fall for it. I'm not going to do that. I committed myself to Christ. God hears a request for frivolous things. This is another part of the thought. Just like my son was asking for a frivolous little toy, light-up sword, things that we think we need right now. He wanted it right now. We see vendors selling it. We hear voices saying we need it. Everyone else has it. But God knows better, right? Probably some of you who are younger, maybe you want special shoes, and your parents say no. Some of you are a little older, maybe you want certain clothing, and your parents say no. Some of you want certain vehicles. Some of you want certain finances helps, and your parents say no. Maybe at a later time, but everyone wants something. God hears your request. Sometimes He wants to give us our heart's desire. Sometimes a plan is already in motion. Sometimes God's time is different than ours. So, yesterday, well, let's mention it. Maybe He hears our request, but then He hears our last comment. If it's the Lord's will. God, I really, really would like a pirate sword. You see how I really like a pirate sword. If it's your will, Lord. And when He hears that, He's like, okay, I'll take Him for it. Who's going to get a pirate sword? But it's not really in my will. Maybe later on. And if my son had said, "Dad, I would like a lighted pirate sword, but if you don't think it, I need it, I understand. I would have really liked that. But so much better." But he was crying, and he was very, very upsetting. And I told him I would buy him one. I told him I would buy one. So he thought that we were going to drop everything and go down and get one. In my mind, I was going to go home and find one online for much cheaper. And I did that today. I found one for $7. And I'm going to get him one, and because I told him I'd get him one, and it'll break just like the other one would have bought if I paid three times as much. But the same way with our Heavenly Father. Sometimes we ask him for something, and he's already got a plan in motion. He's working on how he's going to get it. Maybe he doesn't want us to pay quite the cost. Maybe he doesn't want us to pay the huge fee at that very moment. Maybe you're praying about a career, a college, a job, a spouse, a vehicle, a house. All this stuff is tough sometimes, and you're wanting that. It's not coming quick enough. And God says, "All right, you want a spouse? You want a better job? Sure. God's time's different than ours, isn't it? We want it right now when we see the vendor. We can see the vendors. We can see everybody else has one, but us. And it's the same way. God already knows the answer. He knows, yep, I got this little girl right here waiting for you. Maybe in a couple more years, maybe this job that I want is going to be there, but it's going to be a while. I got to open some doors up. I got to bring a different company to town. I got to bring different supervisor in a position that's going to know you. Maybe I got the wrong house and you force your way into it and you're like, "Man, I did not realize this place didn't have a well. This place septic was terrible." But if you just would have waited on God, it would have been perfect. And it's so, so important just to wait on God, because he has the answer. He already knows the answer. And God knows what each one of you in here need tonight. I could take a guess at it. But God already knows what you need. You just have to ask him. Just like my son had to ask me for a sword. I was not going to go buy him a sword on a whim. I did buy him something else. A box of popcorn, and he did not want it. So I finished it off today. So he had to tell me what he wanted. He did not want popcorn. I thought that would be a cheaper alternative. And it wasn't. It was for me, but it wasn't for him. So when God tests us, when he brings a question into us, and I could bring plenty of questions up, but you each individually have different situations that God's going to test you on. Some of you are 13, some of you are 23. And in between there, there's lots of different things that God's going to bring, test you on, question you on. Say, what is Chris going to do through this situation? What is he going to do when he's facing this? And what is your answer going to be? God already knows what his answer is going to be for request, but he wants to hear what each one of you here have tonight. So I started with the thought of about the sword, the flaming sword. So my thought was more of like each one of you here tonight about Cain and Abel. When something's coming your way, it'd be easier to deny it, maybe avoid the question, avoid the situation. Don't lie. Tell the truth. When the temptation's there to do something wrong, "Lord, I don't want to hurt you. I'm going to deny. I'm not going to fall for that temptation again. I'm not going to do that again." Because it's going to be there. And every time you say no, it's going to get easier to say no. I'm not going to fall for it from then on. Anyone here have any thoughts that come to your mind as I was speaking? Starting in the back row there, Victoria? No? All right. Up in the front row, Alex?
You mentioned it, but...
Yeah.
God already knows what we need, but like you said, you wanted to hear him ask for it, and sometimes, just like maybe you may not have even considered getting your son's sword if you didn't ask for it. God knows what we need, but sometimes he wants us to hear us ask for it before he gives it to us.
Mm-hmm.
and he wants to hear us acknowledge him, that we need him, and just sometimes acknowledging that we need him and that we want his direction is enough. God will bless us if we stay in his will.
Exactly.
Okay, I did think
of something. All right.
I thought about persistency when you were talking about how he was persistent. We said no, he died down, but then he was persistent. And I think sometimes we need to be persistent with God. It gets hard because sometimes you're like, there's no answer, you're not moving, you don't care. And so then you just like, why should I pray about it? But the persistency of, just like the widow or the unjust judge, just constantly, putting that before God, this is what I want, this is what I need, and bringing that to him.
The friend at midnight is the story I think you were talking about. If you remember the friend at midnight, everybody was sleeping in the parable. And the friend had a bunch of friends over. And he didn't have any food. So they're like, well, I'll go over to someone else's house. And they just keep knocking. They're like, go away, go away. And like, no, we need to borrow some bread. They just kept knocking the door. Finally, they got up and they gave him the bread. Same way with God. Sometimes we don't knock on his door, but we talk to him. Lord, this is the third month in a row, I'm still needing a job. I'm still needing direction on this. I'm still needing this answered. And the Lord's like, okay, thank you, Chris. I hear you. Okay. And he's got a plan in motion. It may not be, we want the bread now, right? The neighbors, but yeah, it's beautiful. So you're going to probably see my son walking around with a pirate sword in pictures. You're not going to see it at church. He's not bringing that church to church. But he loves swords. And so when we got home last night, my dad had given me a big box of belongings. And if you know my grandfather, he used to be the manager in the bookstore, probably before you guys were alive, I guess, thinking about it now. So my grandpa had a whole bunch of stuff that they don't sell in the bookstore anymore. Like a paddle. So he didn't know what the paddle was, so he had the paddle out, and it says something on it about the bear behind and something about the deer. I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway, so he didn't know what it was, so he's running around the house thinking it's a pirate sword. And he's like, I'm like, let me show you what that's for. Oh, okay, that's the handle, and then you... Oh! So that was his first experience with the paddle. I didn't give him a very hard spanking or nothing, but it was just kind of showing. But he thought it was a pirate sword. It was pretty cute. So different perspective.